Okay, so get ready because today we are taking a deep dive into walking in the spirit.
Oh, interesting.
You know that phrase we hear a lot at the family church, a Christian retreat?
Yep.
We've got a transcript of Pastor Phil Durstein's sermon on the topic and some background info from the church's website.
Okay.
And honestly, it's not at all what I expected.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it would be, I don't know, kind of abstract and ethereal,
Right.
but there's some really practical stuff in here.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What really stood out to you from the sermon?
Well, for starters, I was surprised by how much it focuses on tangible results.
Tangible results.
Yep, it's less about, cultivating inner peace or feeling spiritual.
Right.
It's more about how walking in the spirit should actually change what we do with the real world.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Like, those inner changes should lead to concrete actions, and those actions should affect the world around us.
That's a really interesting perspective.
But I've got to admit, sometimes the whole walking in the spirit thing feels a bit vague to me.
I hear you.
Like, how could you even tell if you're doing it right?
A lot of people ask that question, and the sermon actually tries to answer that directly.
Oh, how so?
Well, Pastor Durstein points to the early church as an example.
Spilly Church.
He highlights their joy, their unity, and their boldness as evidence that the Spirit was at work in their lives.
Okay.
He's kind of saying that those qualities aren't just nice byproducts, but expected outcomes.
Oh, so we should be looking for those specific things.
Yeah, that seems to be his point.
Interesting.
So it's less about feeling spiritual and more about what you do because of it.
Makes sense.
And he tells this really amazing story about his dad.
Oh, tell me about it.
So picture this. It's 5:30 in the morning,
Early.
and his dad gets woken up by an angry neighbor pounding on the door.
Oh, what happened?
Well, this neighbor was furious about their new faith
Wow.
and just starts yelling threats.
Super tense situation.
That's pretty scary.
Definitely not how you want to start your day.
So how did his dad react?
Well, he did something totally unexpected.
What did he do?
He just kept repeating, "I love you," to this guy,
Really?
even while the neighbor was yelling and shaking his fist.
I love you. Wow, that's wild.
Right. It sounds almost, I don't know, naive.
A little bit.
But maybe there's a deeper wisdom there.
Baby.
Do you think that was his dad trying to walk in the spirit?
That's a really good question.
What do you think?
I mean, it's hard to say for sure.
True.
I'm not sure if the sermon explicitly says his dad was already walking in the spirit at that point,
Yeah.
but it definitely highlights the power of love, right?
Absolutely.
And it's one of the fruits of the spirit.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, I think it's worth clarifying something for our listeners.
What's that?
I think some people might get fruits of the spirit and walking in the spirit mixed up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Like, what's the difference exactly? Well, fruits of the spirit are like those qualities listed in Galatians.
Okay.
Love, joy, peace, patience, all that.
Yeah.
These are like the natural outcomes of a life that's connected to God.
Ah, so those are the results we were talking about.
Exactly. But walking in the spirit is more about the process.
So how would you describe that process?
Well, it's about intentionally aligning ourselves with God's will
Right.
and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and actions, our choices.
Yeah.
It's about actively surrendering to God and trusting in Him.
So maybe in the case of Pastor Phil's dad, maybe saying, "I love you," wasn't just, some random act of kindness.
Right.
Maybe it was him choosing to act in a way that aligned with the spirit.
Even though it felt totally counterintuitive in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. Even when it felt illogical or even scary.
And that brings us to another key point the sermon makes, boldness.
Boldness.
Yeah, Pastor Durstin argues that boldness is a choice we make.
Okay.
It's not just a personality trait. And he says that by choosing to act boldly, we can open up space for the Spirit to work in powerful ways.
So going back to that story, maybe his dad's "I love you" was actually a super bold move.
I see what you're saying.
Like, he could have chosen to argue back
Yeah.
or slam the door in the guy's face
Right.
or even call the cops, but instead, he chose love.
Powerful choice.
And that choice had a huge impact.
What do you mean?
Well, that very night, his dad experienced speaking in tongues for the first time.
Wow, so it was a major turning point for him.
Yeah, the sermon says he was filled with a joy he'd never felt before.
So his act of boldness, even though it probably felt terrifying at the time,
Totally.
somehow led to this incredible spiritual breakthrough.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
And it makes me think about those tangible results we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
What other kinds of things can we expect when we walk in the Spirit?
I mean, we've got boldness, but what else? Okay, so we're back. And that question we ended on about what it actually means to live a life led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's really stuck with me.
I get that.
It's like, I'm realizing I might have had some wrong ideas about what spirituality actually is.
Oh, how so?
You know how we often think of spirituality as like this state of being totally serene.
Right.
Like detached from the world and everything.
Yeah, kind of floating above it all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what if real spirituality is more about actually engaging with the world?
Interesting.
Yeah. And this sermon seems to suggest.
How does it suggest?
That it's not about escaping reality.
Right.
Or building a spiritual bubble around yourself.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It's about facing the messiness of life. Head on. And letting the Spirit guide you through it.
It's like that saying.
Saying.
Smooth seas never made a skilled sailor.
Oh, I like that.
We need those rough waters to learn how to navigate, you know.
Totally. Yeah. And to become more resilient.
Exactly.
And maybe it's the same with our spiritual lives. Like, we need challenges to deepen our faith.
Makes sense.
And to learn to rely on the Spirit.
It makes you think about that story with Pastor Phil's dad.
Yeah, with the angry neighbor.
I mean, that situation could have gotten really bad.
Oh, for sure.
But his dad chose to respond with love.
And it totally de-escalated things.
Right. And it even led to this powerful spiritual experience for him.
It's a good reminder that sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just choose love.
Even when it feels hard or risky.
Yeah.
Which takes a lot of boldness.
Definitely.
And, you know, the sermon really emphasizes that.
That one.
That boldness is a choice. Yeah. It's not just something you're born with.
Hmm. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, you can choose to act boldly even when you're scared or unsure.
It's just like a muscle you can build.
Yeah, exactly. And those bold acts can have consequences we may never even realize.
Okay, I love that.
That's pretty cool, right?
It is. Like, we have the power to choose boldness, to step outside our comfort zones.
And let the Spirit work through us.
But what about those notable miracles Pastor Phil talks about?
Yeah, the miracles.
Should we all be expecting, you know, blind eyes being healed?
That's a tough question.
It is.
And it's something a lot of people struggle with.
For sure.
But the sermon encourages us to think about miracles in a broader sense.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, what if miracles are happening all around us in ways we might not even recognize?
Hmm. So what might those less flashy miracles look like?
Think about a time when, like, a relationship was suddenly restored.
Oh.
Or a situation that felt impossible suddenly took a turn for the better.
Mm.
What about those moments when you just feel this, like, overwhelming sense of peace?
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of chaos?
Oh, for sure.
Those could all be considered miracles.
Miracles.
Like, those are moments where God's grace breaks through.
Interesting.
It's so easy to focus on those big dramatic miracles.
Yeah.
That we might miss those subtle everyday miracles that are happening all around.
Yeah, like, we need to adjust our perspective a bit.
Exactly. And speaking of adjusting our perspective,
Remember
that story about Pastor Phil in Haiti?
With the blind man?
Yes. That experience seemed to awaken a new level of awareness for him.
Yeah.
Like, it made him so much more sensitive to God's power.
It's like he stepped into a whole new realm of possibility.
And maybe that's part of what walking in the Spirit is all about.
Okay, I like that.
Cultivating that sense of wonder, that openness to the miraculous.
Even in the mundane.
Exactly.
You know what strikes me about all this?
What's that?
Even though we're talking about walking in the Spirit, which sounds kind of abstract.
Right.
There's something very practical about it.
I agree.
It's not about detaching from the world.
Yeah.
It's about engaging with the world.
Yeah.
But with a deeper purpose.
And a deeper connection to something bigger than ourselves.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And remember how Pastor Phil talked about the early church?
Yeah, how they were of one heart and mind.
Right. Like, they shared everything. And there was this incredible unity.
A real sense of community.
And generosity.
Absolutely. It's beautiful, right?
It is. It's a beautiful picture of what it means to, like, to walk in the Spirit together.
Yeah, to support each other on the journey.
Because our individual walks are all interconnected, right?
They are. We impact each other and we can learn from each other's experiences.
And those experiences can become powerful testimonies.
Like the young man in the mall.
Yes. Even though he got kicked out.
By security.
His passion. His authenticity, it clearly had an impact on the people around him.
It's interesting how personal stories can really connect with people.
In a way that, you know, theological arguments sometimes can't.
It makes faith feel real and relatable.
Like, we're all in this together.
And I don't have to pretend to have it all figured out.
And Pastor Phil actually said something that really made me think.
Oh, what was that?
He said that each of us is in the middle of a testimony in the making.
What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think he's saying that our lives are these stories that are constantly unfolding. And those stories are shaped by, you know,
by our choices,
our experiences,
the things we go through.
And it's those moments woven together,
the good and the bad,
that make up our testimony.
And he's not saying we have to, you know, pretend everything's perfect.
Right. It's about embracing the messiness
and trusting that God can use even our mistakes for good.
That's encouraging.
It is. And you know, it's those authentic, raw stories that really connect with people.
Yeah.
They point to the hope we have in Christ.
Okay, so we've covered a lot.
We have.
Boldness, miracles, conflict, testimonies, community.
It's a lot to process.
It is. But is there anything else from the sermon that we need to explore?
Well, there's one last piece that I think is really important.
Okay, what's that?
It's the distinction between being a Christian and being a disciple.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's a big deal.
It is. And remember how he said that the word disciple is used way more than the word Christian in the New Testament.
Way more. Like over 280 times.
It seemed like he was hinting at something there.
He was making a point about how being a follower of Christ,
yeah,
it's not just about belonging to a religion.
Mm.
It's about actively sharing the gospel.
And making disciples.
Who can then go make more disciples.
It's like a chain reaction.
Exactly, like this ripple effect of transformation.
Which brings us back to that big question.
The one about what it means to live a life led by the Spirit.
Yeah, it's a question that makes us think about
everything.
How can we be more bold? How can we be more open to miracles? How can we navigate conflict?
How can we share our stories in a way that inspires others?
There's so much to consider.
I know.
Maybe we should take a break.
A break.
Yeah, let all this sink in for a bit.
That sounds like a good idea. We've covered so much ground today.
I know. But don't go anywhere, listeners.
We'll be right back.
To explore some more fascinating insights.
And then trust me.
You don't want to miss it. Okay, so we're back. And I'm still thinking about what you said.
About what?
You know, about how those early Christians.
Yeah.
What did they actually call themselves?
Oh, right, right.
Because it wasn't Christian.
It seems like disciple was the preferred term.
Disciple, yeah.
Remember how many times that word popped up in the New Testament?
It was a lot.
Over 280. And Christian was only used 3 times.
Wow.
So, yeah, they saw themselves as disciples.
Hmm, makes sense.
They were students of Jesus. Yeah.
Right, learning from him, following his example.
But what did that actually look like in their everyday lives?
Yeah, what made them stand out back then?
Well, they were known for their unwavering faith.
Okay.
Their willingness to, like, go beyond their comfort zones.
Yeah.
And a radical commitment to serving others.
Hmm. So they didn't just talk the talk.
Nope.
They walked the walk.
Even when it was dangerous.
Or unpopular.
Absolutely.
It sounds like disciple wasn't just a label.
It wasn't a fashion statement.
It was a way of life, right?
Totally. It was woven into everything they did.
It really makes you wonder what could happen today. Mm. You know, if we as followers of Christ really embraced that same level of dedication.
It's a powerful thought, right?
It is. But also maybe a little intimidating.
I get that.
But hey, maybe that's the whole point of this deep dive.
What do you mean?
You know, maybe it's not just about gaining knowledge.
Okay.
But about sparking a fire in us.
A desire to do more.
Yeah, to step more fully into the role of disciple.
And see what God can do through us.
And I love how Pastor Phil reminds us that we're not alone in this.
We need each other.
Yeah, remember how we talked about the early church?
How they supported each other.
They learned from each other. They encouraged each other.
We can do the same.
Absolutely. And we can find other people.
Other disciples.
Who are also trying to live out their faith.
In a real and authentic way.
Yes. And learn from them and challenge each other.
That's what it's all about.
Wow. Well, this has been an incredible deep dive.
It has.
I feel like we've learned so much.
We've explored the history.
Heard amazing stories.
About boldness and miracles.
And really wrestled with what it means to walk in the Spirit.
It's about more than just believing.
It's about doing. It's about living.
It's about following Christ's example and sharing his message with the world.
And that journey, it's not always easy.
Definitely not.
There will be tough times, but also incredible rewards.
Moments of doubt and conflict.
But also deep joy and connection.
And the amazing experience of seeing God work in our lives.
It's an adventure worth taking.
It is. And as we wrap up this deep dive,
yeah,
I want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay.
What step can you take today to live more like a disciple.
That's a good one.
What act of boldness, compassion, or service can you embrace?
It's a question worth thinking about.
And we'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Until next time, keep diving deep, keep seeking truth, and keep walking in the Spirit.